Like I said, if you've got a Bible, you can turn to Psalm 1. Before we jump in back into our series this morning, let me give an update from last couple of weeks. So last Sunday, I gave a brief update on the WOW Missions offering. So two Sundays ago, we took up our only public offering that we take up an entire year. Our kids were part of that, and the kids, they collected money in tens, and we asked the church, everybody, just to give as much as you could, because we take that and it supports what we do locally, our partnerships across North America, our partnerships around the globe, future campus launching. And so I couldn't share all the details last week because we didn't have all the numbers in, and some gifts came in after the week that we took up the offering. And so just wanted to say and celebrate with you this morning. So Delaware here, you know, this campus's goal was $110,000. I told you last Sunday, we crossed that on the first day of the offering, which was awesome. And we landed, yep, absolutely excited about that. We landed this campus at $170,000 for our, so I'm so excited about that. Just this campus, it was $170,897. Last year, the same week, was $106,000. So we grew by $64,000. Like, I can't get it. Like, I keep celebrating. I'm like, Lord, thank you. I feel like God's giving us an opportunity to prepare for the future, for future campus launching here, for continued support of our local partnerships and our global partnerships. Like, I'm just thrilled. And then across campuses, it was a really big goal this year. Last year, I think the week of, we came in at 394, 396, and so we set a goal of 466,000 this year. It took a couple of gifts coming in late even, but in those late gifts, we crossed, the total number was 481, if we can bring that slide up, $481,897 across six campuses. So let me just say, man, praise God, thank you for giving, for praying, for being a part of this, and I can't wait to just do this together over the next year as we continue to do our part in fulfilling the Great Commission. But that's a huge deal, to be able to send those resources out for the sake of the kingdom of God, all right? So again, praise God. Well, we are in we're in this series, week two now, of a series we're calling Practicing. We're the art of becoming more like Jesus. And we're looking at the spiritual disciplines in this series. And we kind of said week one, let's define the spiritual disciplines, because there's many, many different. I read multiple people and they all gave a slightly different definition. And so the definition we're working with are that the spiritual disciplines are habits or practices or rhythms that we engage in regularly for the sake of becoming more like Jesus, right? Practices, habits, disciplines. Rhythms that we engage in regularly for the sake of becoming more like Jesus. And we said last week, anything in a sense can be a spiritual discipline when you're doing it for the glory of God. And we use the example, right? If you're like, I clean the house every week, right? And I sing to the Lord while I do it. Yes, in a way that can be a spiritual discipline. It can be worship. But there are spiritual disciplines that are not just, hey, anything you want to do, but things that are laid out specifically in Scripture, practices that we see Jesus doing, that we see men and women in the Scriptures doing on a regular basis for the sake of training for godliness or staying and abiding in Christ, like we talked about last week. And so we're going to walk through eight of those in the course of this series, and we're going to talk about things like prayer and Sabbath and rest and being with God's community and serving and fasting, and we'll cover all of these things. Today, we're looking at Scripture study and meditation. Right? Scripture study or scripture meditation. The idea here is spending intentional time with God through His Word, listening to God, speaking to God. It's obviously difficult to separate this one from prayer, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. These two are very related. But the idea here is spending time intentionally in God's Word, thinking about God's Word, being shaped and formed by God's Word. All right? And before we dive in, I think it's fair. There are two things that came to mind, two sort of questions or ideas that I would imagine maybe some of us are wondering about. First, let me just address, how does the gospel, if I'm in your seat, I was thinking about this, like, how does the gospel and the spiritual disciplines sort of fit together? How do the gospel and the spiritual disciplines fit together? Because we often say and celebrate here that the gospel can be summarized as Jesus in my place. And we keep saying, right, it's not about what you do for God, it's about what God has done for you. The gospel is the good news that God has so loved us that he has sent his son Jesus to die in our place, to live in our place, to rise from the grave, and that when you turn from your sin and you trust Jesus and you believe he is who he says he is and you commit your life to him, that his perfect life is credited to your account and your sin is placed upon him and nailed to the cross, and that you're set free. And you say, well, what did I do to earn it? Nothing. It's just what Jesus has done for you. And so I think sometimes there's a tension there in saying, okay, if that's true, don't I just like believe in him and then, you know, I get to go to heaven when I die? And it's that's a very flat, incomplete understanding of the fullness and depth of the gospel and what it means to follow Jesus. Because Jesus says, I've done this for you, now come follow me, trust in me. But part of trusting him is then walking with him. The invitation's not simply to be born again, but to be born again and then to grow into maturity. When you're born again, right? When you're born the first time, you're born as a what? As a baby, right? And then the life is the process of growing into maturity. It's the same spiritually. When you turn your life over to Christ, we're celebrating a bunch of students this week, right, who gave their life to Christ during this week at camp. Our prayer for them is that that decision becomes lifelong discipleship. That they start as a spiritual infant, but that they grow into maturity. The same is true for you and me. And so Jesus' invitation is not just, right, turn your life over to me, but come and follow me and grow into maturity. And that's where the spiritual disciplines come in. The spiritual disciplines are the things that we do to abide in Christ. We talked about that last week, John 15. Jesus says that he's the vine and we're the branches. And if we abide in him and his words abide in us, he says you'll bear much fruit. So the spiritual disciplines are not a way of earning something from God or proving that now I'm good enough. It is things that we do. They are things we do to stay connected to Christ and to abide in him so that we see more of the growth and what God wants to do in our lives. And one of the primary ones that we're going to talk about this morning is this discipline of being in the Word and spending time with God through his Word, meditating on the Word. Which leads me to the second question that I would imagine some ask. What's up with the word meditation? You maybe hear that word. Some of us, you go, no, I totally get it. And others of us, if you're honest, you're like, I'm imagining someone sitting cross-legged in yoga pants. And you're wondering, like, do I have to wear yoga pants? I don't like yoga pants, right? Like, is this necessary for scripture meditation? And the good news is, it has nothing to do with what you're wearing, and you don't even have to be sitting. Right? The challenge of this is that there's a lot actually in our culture. Meditation's talked about a lot these days, and there's a lot of different forms of it that are not necessarily rooted in Christian tradition. So there's mindfulness meditation and guided meditation and mantra meditation and transcendental meditation and all these different forms. And oftentimes you say, well, what's the distinction? This is probably an oversimplification. I'm not an expert in meditation. But many of these forms of meditation have something to do with clearing your mind, focusing maybe on one word over and over, and the idea is being present to yourself and to the moment. Christian meditation is not about clearing your mind. It's clearing your mind of distractions, but it's about filling your mind with God's word and not just being present to the moment, but being present to the presence of God. Being present to who God is and saying, I want to be aware of his presence through his word, and I want to put my mind intentionally on God's word, think it through. I want to think it out. What are the implications of it? What does God's word say about him, about me? But I also want to think it in. I want to spend enough time in his word to where it gets into my heart and affects me at an emotional level to where I love God more and I want to apply his word into my life. That makes sense? Right? You're spending time in God's word, filling your mind, hearing his voice and being shaped by his word, filling your mind with his word. And if you were to say, well, is that biblical? I mean, why do we use the word meditate? Because it's in the Bible multiple times. It's a practice we see in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Genesis 24 tells us that Isaac, Abraham's son, went out into the field one night, sat down in the field and meditated. It says right after he put on his yoga pants, he went out and he meditated. I'm just kidding, it doesn't say that. Joshua 1, I have nothing against yoga pants, by the way, right? So that's not the point of the message. Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua, the Lord speaks to Joshua and says, say this to the people. Verse 8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. I love this because verse 7 and verse 9 are where God tells the people, be courageous, be strong and courageous, and the Lord will be with you wherever you go. And we love to quote that verse as Christians. We're like, be strong and courageous and the Lord will be with you. Don't forget verse 8 that says, his word needs to be in your mouth and in your heart, and you meditate it on day and night. If you want the presence of God, you need to be in the word of God. You be in the word of God, you have the promise that the presence of God goes with you. Psalm 119 verse 15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Psalm 63 verse 5 and 6, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and I meditate on you in the watches of the night. Some of us, you might hear this and say, okay, Cale, granted, but that's a lot of Old Testament. Once Jesus comes, don't we just like love him and trust him? And do we really need to do this whole like meditating on the word thing? What did you see Jesus do? What do we see Jesus do? Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days right before he starts his public ministry. And do you know what he's doing during that time? He's praying and he's thinking a lot about the word of God. He is meditating on the word. You say, how do we know? Because every time the enemy comes to him and tries to tempt him in a certain way, what does Jesus do back? He quotes the Bible. He quotes Deuteronomy specifically. A couple of chapters in Deuteronomy, he just keeps quoting it, which tells you he's been thinking about it over and over. It's so filled. His mind is so filled with it. When he gets squeezed, that's what comes out. He says back to Satan, right? But he answered, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, to the church, he says, look, listen, every word, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So bottom line, from the start to the finish, Old Testament, New Testament, there's a command and an example that says to believers, as you trust in Jesus, part of the way we trust in him is by spending time in his word. Spending time fixing our minds and our thoughts on who he is, what he's done, and what he says to us, and being formed by his word. Perhaps the preeminent text on this about meditating on the word of God is Psalm 1. So let me read it to you. Let's read it together here. You can look up at the screens, or you can, if you have a Bible open. Psalm 1 says this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The psalmist in Psalm 1 gives us, right, and it's beautiful, before there's 150 psalms. So before we get into anything else, the psalmist starts off by saying, hey, there are two ways in which you can live. You see this all through the psalms and all through the proverbs, right, that you can go the way of the wicked or you can go the way of the righteous. And he says the way of the wicked is marked by this. He says it's going to perish, and it's marked not by the pursuit of God, but it's marked by the rejection of God. It's marked by mocking rather than humbling yourself under the Lord. And he goes on to describe it. He says this, sitting in the seat of scoffers, standing in the way of sinners, turning your life, saying, I'm going to live my life my way, and God, I don't need you, don't want you, don't believe in you, whatever it may be. He says where this lands you is a life that looks like chaff. Chaff was the outer husk. When they would harvest their wheat and their grain, it was the outer husk that was so light you could kind of tear it apart and you could throw it up in the air. And when they would do their harvesting, they'd throw it up in the air and the wind would come and just blow that away. And the good stuff, right, the grain would fall to the ground and you could separate it that way. It's so light that it literally, the wind just drives it away. And he says, listen, the life that is marked by the pursuit of what you want to do and not the pursuit of the Lord, it is a rootless life. It's a life that's temporary. It's a life that ends up not enduring because you've rooted yourself in things that simply don't last. You say, flesh that out for me, Cale. Listen, if you're here and you've made your life all about the pursuit of money, there's coming a day where you're going to realize you can't take that with you. If you're here and you've made your life all about the pursuit of sex and pleasure, there's going to come a day when desire fails and you realize how temporary all of that is. It's not a foundation on which to build your life. If it's been all about the pursuit of success, we're all going to get older. Eventually, abilities decline. Sometimes even the desire for success fails or falls, and certainly the ability to achieve it diminishes. The psalmist is saying, apart from God, if you are rooting your life or trying to root your life in any of these things, they simply don't last. You're building your life on a foundation that's not going to stand. And he says, your life ends up like chaff. And I don't know about you. To be honest, I don't know that I've ever talked to someone and said, hey, what do you want your life metaphor to be? And they go, chaff. I want written on my gravestone, here today and gone tomorrow, right? Like grass, like chaff. No, nobody wants that. Everybody wants, like, no, give me the tree. I want to be like, which is the psalmist says, no, the way of the righteous, it's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, its leaf doesn't wither. It's an entirely different picture of what life can look like when you root yourself in Christ, the one who gives the streams of living water. And everybody says, I want that. I'm a, just something about me, by the way, you guys know this, I'm a nerd. I like trees, so I really like trees. Like when Morgan and I got married, I walk around, we would talk, I would tell her like, look at this one, you see how that one, you know? And she was really sweet at first about it. She's like, that's so nice, Cale. And then after a while, she was like, honey, why are we talking about trees? Like, why are we still talking about this? Because I love the way they grow, looking at them. Like, in fact, I'm such a nerd. This week I looked up, I was like, I wonder what the oldest oak tree is in Ohio. Oak trees are awesome, by the way. If you've ever seen one like that's really old, there's an oak tree in Logan, Ohio, down in southeast Ohio, called the Logan Oak. I'll give you a couple of pictures here, right? They think it's 600 years old. All right, there's another picture here. It shows there's a guy sitting at the base of it. Just so you have scale, right? Like, that's not a hobbit. That's a full-grown man, right? Sitting at the base of the tree. It's like 30 feet in circumference. The branches at the top spread out like 60, 70 feet right across. And they think, again, it's 600 years old. So like 350 years before our nation even came into being, that thing was standing there growing, bearing fruit, in this case, acorns, just growing. I don't know if there's a stream of water nearby, but think about, I mean, you look at that and it's centuries of growth and stability and weathering the elements and continuing to produce and be a blessing to all who are around it. And the psalmist says, that's life in Christ. None of us sit here and go, I want chaff. I want the chaff life. No, we all go, give me the tree type life. And the question is, how? How do we get to this? And the Christian answer to that is, listen, you were made for God. He is the source of life, and you need to root yourself deeply in him. If you want a life of substance, if you want a life of fruitfulness, if you want a life of spiritual growth in the midst of the storms, in the midst of difficulty, not withering, but actually growing in the midst of life's challenges, then you need to root yourself deeply in him, abide in him. The psalmist says two things here, delight yourself in the law or the instruction of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. Meditate means to muse on it, to ponder it. The word can even mean murmur. If you're talking to yourself, which I love because I do all the time, I walk around, right? People are like, why are you talking to yourself? You talk to yourself about God's word. Externally process it even, right? Just talk it out loud. You are pondering God's word. And when it says day and night, the point there, I don't think is simply, well, you need to have 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the night. It's great if you do. The point is it becomes a lifestyle. Day and night, night and day. My thoughts on the word of God. Do you know the average human being has tens of thousands of thoughts a day? You are being shaped by something. You are rooting yourself in something. tens of thousands of thoughts a day. Whatever you're thinking about on a daily basis, it is shaping you in really deep ways. And you can either be shaped and discipled and rooted in Christ and in his word or in whatever else you're thinking about. And the psalmist says, delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Meditate on God's word. Be in his presence. Be formed and shaped by his word. And just note the similarities here between what the psalmist is saying and what Jesus says later on. The psalmist says, right, delight in his word. Meditate on it day and night. Jesus says, right, abide in me and my words in you, and you'll bear much what? Fruit. You're going to grow like the tree. Jesus says, when you hear my words and you do them, you're like a person who builds his life on the rock, and it's a strong foundation. And when the storms of life come, you stand. The foundation stands. It's a picture of strength and stability and dependence on him as we abide in him. So when we think about this and say, okay, I want that, note what the psalmist says, delight in the Lord, meditate on it day and night. And let's talk about that first one, delighting, because this is really, really important. He does not simply say, blessed is the man who memorizes God's word. Whether you like it or not, just get the information in there. He says, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord or in the instruction of the Lord. That tells us something, that this is not simply about information. It's about formation. And I'm not the first person to say this, but I put it in your notes this way, right? Scripture meditation is not just about information, it's about formation. It's about spending time in God's word and actually delighting in it, delighting in who God is and being formed by the Lord. Spiritual growth is not simply about intellectual exercise and getting information in. It's about our hearts being formed into the image of Christ. The psalmist says, right, delight in the, that tells you it's about relationship. It's not just head knowledge, it's heart experience of saying, I'm delighting in who God is and what he said. When I look at his word, I'm delighting in what he has done, delighting in what he said about himself. This is why the Jewish leaders, Jesus had some of his harshest rebukes for some of the Jewish leaders, some of the Pharisees. And guys, this is tough. This should challenge us. Typically, a Jewish boy would grow up and they learn to read by reading the Old Testament, the law, the first five books of the Bible. They would memorize vast portions of it. And the ones who were really good at it went on to do it even more. So when you became a Pharisee or a scribe, you had memorized vast portions of the Old Testament and the law. And yet those people who have memorized scripture, Jesus looks at them and says, but your hearts are far from God. You've missed the whole point, because it wasn't about being formed or delighting in the Lord or loving him and being loved by him. It was just about following the rules, memorizing the information, and oftentimes becoming prideful in knowing that information. You can know vast portions of the Bible. You can read it every day. Instead of being formed in the image of Christ and delighting in who he is, being humbled by what he's done for you, you can become arrogant. You can weaponize it against other people. It can be just about intellectual information and knowledge rather than being formed in the image of Christ. You say, well, how do we guard against that? How do we guard against that? One, I would say, ask the Lord for help as you approach it. Say, Father, help this to increase my love for you and not just be an intellectual exercise. But also, and we've talked about this before, always read the Bible with an eye towards Christ. Reading the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, saying, how does this help me understand God's love for me in the person and work of Jesus? The way I put it in your notes, we delight in God's word by seeing it in the light of Christ. We delight in God's word by seeing it in the light of Christ. Put it in short form, delight in the light of Christ. It's cheesy, but you'll remember it, right? Delight in the light of Christ. Let me give you an example of how you do this. Some of you, right, one of our pastors pointed out, the psalmist is saying he delights in the instruction of the Lord. That would have been the first five books of the Bible. Going to bed at night reciting the Ten Commandments. You're like, how do you delight in that, right? How do you delight in going over, right? Honor your father and mother. Well, part of it is you sit there and go, what does this tell me about God's character? God says to be faithful, right, to your spouse. How do I delight in that? You delight in the fact that God has been faithful to me my whole life long. and he keeps his promises. And from the very beginning pages of scripture, he promised that one day, told Adam and Eve, one day someone born of the woman will come and crush the head of this serpent, and he's gonna undo the work that's been done here. He's gonna save. He fulfills that promise in sending Jesus. So you sit there, you go over the Ten Commandments, and you can, in the Ten Commandments, see the gospel. The tabernacle dimensions. Let me give you another example here. If you start in the Bible, a lot of times people say, I'm gonna start reading the Bible. I mean, they get in Genesis, and they're like, this is great. Then they get to Exodus, and they're like, this is really cool. And then they get to the end of Exodus, and they're like, we're talking about a tabernacle. There are whole chapters about the dimensions of the tabernacle. You ever been there, right? And you're like, what happened, right? Now, like, how do I delight in, it was 30 cubits long and it's 15 cubits wide. I don't know what a cubit is, right? How do I delight in this? Here's one of the ways in which you delight in it. You zoom out and you start to ask the big picture questions. And guys, you get better at this the more you read, the more you keep your eyes on Jesus, the more you know, and you start reading the scriptures. You start reading this, and what you realize is this whole tabernacle, it's a picture of the way the world is supposed to be, and who's at the center of it? God. The Holy of Holies is right there in the center, and his presence dwells there. And the people of God, it's a way for them to have relationship with God and God to have relationship with the people. And the high priest has to go in one time a year and he gets to enter into the Holy of Holies and he offers sacrifices and says, God, please forgive the people on the basis of this sacrifice. Take the life of the animal and not the life of us, and may the blood cover us and we'll be forgiven through that in a sense. All of that is pointing forward. You read it and you go, oh, it's a visual picture of the gospel. Because then Jesus comes along and he's called the Lamb of God, and it's through his shed blood that we are forgiven, and he's our great high priest who goes and advocates for us, and through him we get to come into the presence of God. Suddenly you go zoom out and you go, it's not so much about the cubits, it's about Jesus. And I get to delight in the fact that, Lord, we don't have to do this anymore because we have Christ and you provided the perfect sacrifice in our place. But the more you read, the more you study, the more you meditate on God's word, the better you get at this. And you're led by God's Holy Spirit and you start reading the word going, Lord, help me to see how this points to Jesus, how this is fulfilled in Jesus, and how it helps me celebrate who you are and what you've done for me. Do you see how that's so much different and so much deeper than simply saying, read your Bible? Yes, read your Bible. But in the word, spend time with God. And celebrate, look at it in the light of Christ and celebrate who Jesus is. For the rest of our time, I wanna get really practical here for a moment. Because if you're sitting here going, okay, Jesus says don't live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God, I wanna start living on God's word. What do I do? Paul says in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Okay, I wanna start being renewed. I want less Netflix binging, more time with God. Less doom scrolling, more meditating on God's word. Where do I start? Let me give you a general statement first. And I know this is kind of duh, but I think it just bears saying out loud. As you start this, and I hope you'll start today, all spiritual disciplines require time, effort, and intentionality. All spiritual disciplines require time, effort, and intentionality. I don't want anyone going into this going, this is probably just gonna be easy. It'll just happen naturally. It's led by the Holy Spirit. It's fueled by the grace of God. But it requires effort and intentionality and time on our part to say, I am saying no to other things so that I can say yes to spending time with God in his word. You have to say no to other things. Have you noticed if you just sit there and you have time on your hand, it fills up with something. Usually with a screen, and it takes time, intentionality and effort to say, I'm going to get into God's word, I'm gonna say no to other things, and I'm gonna set aside time to listen to God's word, to read God's word, and to ponder it and think about it. So here, practically, let me give you some practical steps. I'm gonna give you four things, okay? One, get a Bible and have a plan. Number one, get a Bible, have a plan, all right? Can I encourage you a couple of things? In your app notes today, and if you need these links, I can send them to you. You can just email me, but in the app notes, there are two links there. One is to a study Bible, an NIV study Bible. I use both the ESV and the NIV study Bible. It's like $45 on Amazon, right? It's worth the investment. If you've never opened up the Bible before, a study Bible will help you. It will be your best friend as you open up and you get to read about what am I reading about, just to help you understand. There's also a reading plan there. I put a reading plan in there. It's a 23-day reading plan through the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, which is Luke part 2. He wrote both of them. It tells you about Jesus and the gospel and what he's done, and then it tells you about the history of the early church. And the reason I would encourage starting there, a lot of people, when they say, all right, I'm gonna do it, you go to Genesis, and again, you start, I'm gonna just go through the whole thing, and then somewhere in Leviticus, in Deuteronomy, Numbers, you go, I can't do this anymore. And I just wanna encourage, if you can, praise God. Some people are that disciplined. But if you can't, I wanna encourage you, maybe start in the Gospels. Start with this reading plan. It's 23 days. Do it every day. And when you're done, go to another plan. Continue on in the New Testament. Go back to Genesis. Continue spending time in God's word. Number two, right? Get a Bible, have a plan. Number two, ask for help from the Lord and from his people. You are not alone in doing this, okay? When you sit down to read, I do this often. Sit down and say, Lord, help me. These are things, spiritual things are spiritually discerned, and I need the Holy Spirit's help here in understanding what I'm about to read. Help drive it into my soul. Help it not just to be head knowledge. Ask the Lord for help as you sit down to read. But then secondly, you've got people around you who care about you, who love you. Ask for help from someone in your life group who's further ahead than you are. Or if you don't have someone that you know you can ask, then ask me or one of our pastors or our staff here. We would love to sit down with you and help you understand how to start reading and engaging with God's word. If you feel totally lost, you are not alone in doing this. But humble yourself and ask for help, and someone will help you. Number three, make a commitment to engage with God's word every day. Every day. Listen, I know some people are very disciplined, very regimented. I would say ideally, wake up first thing in the morning, right? You're in the word. If you miss that, what I don't want you to do is you're like, the whole day's ruined. Start tomorrow, right? No, like, just make a commitment before your head hits the pillow. I need to be in God's word today. Day and night, night and day. Just make, if it starts at 5 minutes, that's okay. Start somewhere. Engaging. When I say engage in God's word, for some of us, you're gonna sit down with a cup of coffee at a table with a journal, and just gonna have a great time. And others of us, you're like, I fall asleep when I sit. I don't like reading, right? I struggle. My mind goes everywhere. Then there's this great thing, right? The YouVersion Bible app, which if you use the Bible plan that's on here, it's on the YouVersion Bible app, it will read to you in multiple accents. The British guy is great, right? I mean, just put your AirPods in, take a walk through the woods, and listen to God's word. Christians all over the world today are, some of them are illiterate. They can't read. That does not mean, well, sorry, you just can't know God's word. Throughout the centuries, Christians who can't read, haven't been able to read, listen to God's word and engage with it that way, and they get it into their souls and they're formed by God's spirit. Listen to it, read it. Whatever you need to do to engage with the word of God, engage with his word and do it every single day by the grace of God. And number four, take time. Make time to think about what you've read and listen to. And I would add to that, and then talk to God about it. Talk to the Lord. Pray about what you've read. But don't get done and just check the box, close the book and go, okay, on with my day. I did it. Take time to just think over what you've read. And not just then, but throughout the day, come back to it, chew on it, meditate on it, spend time in God's word. And let me just kind of close out with these things. You will not regret, if you will do this, and you will spend time in God's word and by his spirit, by his help, and you'll involve others, you will not regret the time you spend engaging in God's word. I'm not saying it will take time. I'm not saying that by Wednesday you're gonna email me and be like, this has been amazing, right? Like, maybe, but it might take weeks or months, time. But 10 years from now, when you look back, you're not gonna go, I regret spending all that time trying to know God through his word. You're just not. Billy Graham, I remember an article, an interview with Billy Graham from a number of years ago that I read. It was 2010. He was 92 years old. If you don't know Billy Graham, he's probably the most famous preacher of the 20th century, certainly across the United States, but probably across the world. He preached to millions, millions. And at 92 years old, with only 7 years left, I think, in his life, he knew his time was coming to an end. They sat down with him and they said, "Hey, looking back over your life, what would you do differently?" You'd think maybe he would say, "I wish I would have done more. I wish I could have preached to more millions." This is what he said. "I would study more. I would pray more, travel less, take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. Listen to this. If I had to do it over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love him and adore him and am looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity." That's what he said. At 92, looking back over your life, what would you do differently? "I'd give more of my time to just being with God, not doing, but just being with the Lord." You won't regret spending time each day in God's word. And for those of us who are here and you're part of the family of faith, you're a believer, I just want to encourage you. This is not something that just like super saints do. I was reading one of the commentaries this week and it said that. I was like, this is so good. It said, this is for all of us, just everyday Christians. You can do this. You can do this. And we will be praying for you, praying against the enemy in your life. You'll get spiritual opposition to this, but you can do this. Time, intentionality, effort, but by God's Spirit and by his grace, you can do this and be shaped by his word. And if you're here today and you're not a believer and you're wondering, look, in this spiritual discipline series, I'm like, am I supposed to do these things? I would invite you to do them. Yeah. Sit down this week and start reading the Bible. But I would also say this. The entire point of the spiritual disciplines is to grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you're here today and you're going, "I don't have a relationship with Jesus," that's the invitation. Jesus says, "Come, follow me." You can start that relationship with him today. Let's pray together. Father, I want to take a moment and just pray over all of us this week, for every person here who is determined in their heart this morning and in their mind, "I'm going to spend time in the word this week." God, I ask for your grace. Lord, I ask for the help of the Holy Spirit for all of us. God, I pray against the enemy in the name and authority of Jesus. And I ask that even in the midst of opposition, we would discipline ourselves to abide in you. We would remember, God, we're not trying to earn your love. We already have it. We're your sons and your daughters, and you love us, and you've shown that to us in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. God, we want to be formed into the image of Christ. So will you help us to intentionally shut out some of the noise and to turn our thoughts heavenward, to turn our thoughts toward Christ. And God, I ask for your blessing on us as we embark on this, as we practice these things and practice meditating on your word even this week. Can I encourage you just to take a moment to pray? And if you sense there's gonna be something or some things that are gonna be barriers for you in this, will you take a moment and just pray to the Lord about that? Things that you think are gonna trip you up, that are gonna be difficult to overcome, will you ask God for help now? And as we pray, if you're here today and you're going, I just want to start the relationship with Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity now to turn from sin and to place your faith in him as the crucified and resurrected Son of God. You pray with me. Pray in your own words. God, today, turn away. I turn away from my sin and I turn towards Jesus. And God, I ask today for the forgiveness of my sin. I place my faith, my trust in you, Jesus. And from this day forward, I want to follow you. I commit to following you. I want a life that's rooted in you, that bears much fruit. And Jesus, thank you for saving me. Father, we thank you that when anyone prays that, and they pray it in faith, you answer. Once again, we ask for your help this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.